Dear friends in Christ, it is fitting that we conclude this series of chapel talks on the history of the CLC on this day of our Lord's ascension. For just as our risen and ascended Lord at God's right hand has guided us in the past, so our present and future are in the hands of this same ascended Lord sitting at God's right hand. The Gospel of Mark concludes with these words: "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Now, what does it mean that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God? We do not have to use our imaginations to figure out what is meant, for God has revealed to us what is meant. Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians. "God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church." So on the basis of this Bible passage, our catechism says, Christ sitting at the right hand of God means that he rules everything for the benefit of his people. God is a spirit. He does not have a body which has a right hand. Sitting at one's right hand is a picture of a position of honor and authority. Christ rules at God's right hand as our prophet, high priest, and king. Now, our church body has officers, boards, and committees, and our CLC congregations have pastors and elders and other leaders, but the real head, the only head of the church, is our Lord Jesus Christ at God's right hand. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, and all the blessings that we have enjoyed in the past have come to him. As our prophet, he has given us his word. As our high priest, he has brought the great sacrifice to atone for all of our sins. And as our king, he is ruling over all things, working all things together for our good. He rules all things in the interest of his church, that is, his sheep, that is, the believers here on earth, that listen to his voice and follow him. So he is continually watching over us, guiding us, keeping us safe. And now what about the future? Back in 1960, the year 2010 was a long ways away. 50 years. The ascended Lord has been with us during those 50 years, blessing us in ways too numerous to mention. And now what about the next 50 years? What will happen then? Will he still be with us during the next 50 years? What is our church going to be like in the year 2060? Some of you, maybe most of you, will still be living at that time. What will it be like? Well, of course, we don't know the future. But it's very possible that there won't be 50 years. It's possible that our Lord Jesus will wrap all things up before that time. He may decide to end this world and everything in it. That would not be such a bad thing, would it? That our Lord would, on that day, come again, and all those who have died as believers in Jesus Christ through history would rise from the dead, and the living believers would be gathered up to him, and we would all together be with our Lord forever. Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at God's right hand, as the Bible says. But if our Lord delays his coming and allows the world to continue for another 50 years, there are certainly some things that we can be sure of. For one thing, we can be sure that because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we have forgiveness of sins. We can count on Jesus being our high priest, interceding for us as our mediator at God's right hand, telling the Father that he has already paid for all of our sins. We can continue to count on all the promises that our Lord has given us in his word. So he continues to be our prophet, and he will see to it that his word will never perish from the earth. And we can continue to count on Jesus as our king in the years to come, ruling over all things in the interest of his people. But we cannot count on ourselves. We cannot count on the strength of our faith and love. We cannot count on the loyalty of the Church of the Lutheran Confession or its leaders. That we cannot count on. For there have been Orthodox confessional Lutheran church bodies in the past who have not been faithful to their confession, who have fallen away from what they once were, sometimes very far away from what they once were. So God has not promised anywhere in his word that our church body will even remain, or that if it does remain, that it will remain faithful in its teaching. So we can't trust in ourselves or in our church body. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He is the one who descended into hell, who rose from the dead on the third day, who ascended to heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God. And he is our head, he is our Savior, and we can always trust in him. We conclude by singing hymn 466, stanza 1 and stanza 4. Class presidents, get your field day sheet to Eric Nelson today before school is out.